Hey everyone, I'm Jamie Weiss and this is my wrestling podcast, Heck in a Sec, where I make my friends who know little to nothing about wrestling watch a pay-per-view with me, then we talk about it. Today I have my friend Max Simonet, did I say that right?
Yeah,
I have him on and we watched WrestleMania 19 from 2003. What'd you think?
Can you believe it? It was one less than 20.
Math. But anyway, what did you think of this pay-per-view?
Well, I think this professional wrestling was a fun idea once, and then they kept doing it.
I kind of felt like watching this, which this was almost doing something for me that was out of my comfort zone, because I've only started watching in the last few years. So watching something older where I know not much about, like, these guys' gimmicks. I only really know about these, like, athletes as myths and, like, legends. And I was like, I felt like I was watching, like, a hangover of what wrestling was, you know, in the last decade before this. But this was one of the pay-per-views that I read about being one of the most incredible things most longtime fans have watched. I mean, what is your relationship with professional wrestling as it is?
I remember a kid named Joey liked it in elementary school. That's my relationship with professional wrestling. I saw a little bit of the amateur scene here in Atlanta once. And I was like, wow, this is like community theater for people. It's like community theater. But I don't know. I don't know. That's my relationship with it.
Cool. So we're going to be talking about few matches on the cards. The ones we are skipping and not going to be doing a recap of, which if you guys have not listened to my podcast before, basically my guest will have 30 seconds to give me a recap of each match on the card before getting cut off by a metal bowl I took off of a building that is tagged with the name Gelzo. It sounds like, but I hold it different. It sounds better. Anyway, not talking about Matt Hardy versus Rey Mysterio for the Cruiserweight Championship. We're not talking about the Triple Threat for the Tag Team Champ. And we are not talking about Triple H with Ric Flair versus Booker T for the World Heavyweight Championship.
And this was personally, I requested not to talk about any of these because those were my least favorite.
But, so starting off, basically the first match we're going to be doing is The Undertaker and Nathan Jones versus Big Show, The A-Train.
My first note says Total Bellas. Why did I write that?
Because you saw a promo for that TV show.
What is that show?
So basically, there are the Bella twins, which is Nikki Bella and Brie Bella. They're beautiful. One of them is married to Daniel Bryan. The other is engaged to John Cena.
I'm done with this one. What's Raw?
Raw is the Monday night flagship show of WWE.
And SmackDown is another one?
So SmackDown now is on Tuesday nights. They're both live now, and basically there was a draft. So it's two different rosters, essentially, which at the time in 2003, they also had a brand division as well. They stopped it for a little bit. I think it was like in 2011 up until last year because they just had a huge influx of people in their developmental NXT, like who basically needed to get brought up. Okay. So.
Limp Bizkit was there. Matt is off the banana juice. Catfight girl's in the house. They're like half exhausted. Which one am I recapping?
You are doing the one with Undertaker, Nathan Jones, and Big Show.
So I heard that. Okay, I'll stop. Let's restart. Reset. And so this starts out, we learn the news. Undertaker's partner was taken out in a sneak attack. But I feel like they were inconsistent with the rules. I didn't understand what the rules were. And some guy held up a sign that said, "Hi, Jen." And then somebody said, "Lots of pups in the dog pound." Oh, I think that happened later. I don't remember who won. Undertaker won. But there was like two guys fighting him at once. And they have really big heads, and I didn't understand how that, and then some guy came and helped him, and then I don't remember the moves, but
Now this was one of my favorite matches on the card, actually. So it was a handicap match. where basically
two amputees flailed in a bucket of Jell-O. They were small amputees, 4 inches wide. One of them lost. They drowned. They drowned in the strawberry juice. Kick their ass and come home soon, soldiers.
Jesus Christ.
That's what Max. They said during the show.
They said this?
They said,
no, they didn't.
They said, this is to all the people in the armed forces. We all love you here. You're all watching tonight. Kick that ass. It was about the war in Iraq, and they told everyone to kick their ass and come home soon.
God bless America. But, basically, so Limp Bizkit being there was Undertaker's entrance, where he came out on his patriotic motorcycle, hanging that flag real high.
And he had a cracker covered with all the leftover cum from the circle jerk, and he ate the Limp Bizkit. You know that's what...
that's what it is, yeah. Right? Imagine being...
full of cum and wrestling two men.
There's nothing I want more.
That's my new podcast. I'm calling it Guys I've Fucked.
So, who did you think was going to win at the start of this?
I thought The Undertaker was going to win. That seemed like the plot point they'd go for, because like, it seemed like he was everyone's favorite, and these two guys were just kind of being tools. And the one guy was just like hairy and shiny, and the other guy, and he had metal in his face. It just seemed like they were like real pricks, and they had done something wrong, so they're like, oh, he's got to win.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't win, I mean, there's nothing to build, like the business model, there's not something to build up anytime soon, and people get disappointed. They want some kind of finality with these for the most part, right? And I feel like they wouldn't start
right
with something that's a downer.
Yeah, no bummers in the WWE. So a fun fact about this is The Undertaker was originally supposed to have Nathan Jones as his partner kind of the whole time before it was set to be a handicap match, who he's like this 7 foot tall, like former MMA fighter.
Did he pop up at the end?
He did. So basically he was taken out earlier that night in Sunday Night Heat, and
how was he taken out? Like in a bit, like they do those skits behind the scenes. Was it one of those?
So I guess Sunday Night Heat, which this is something I'm not super clear of, is a show that happens before WrestleMania, like back in the day. And I guess they kept saying that Big Show and A-Train took him out, which I don't know if that was like physically or to a nice meal.
No, it was physically, but I imagined like they went into his back room and they like stabbed him or something. He's like, no, we can't fight. Or like they kidnapped him. Like there's some trick they did.
So the reason why they booked it like that,
I'm
though,
pulling sunburn skin off my arm, putting it in my pocket. I don't know why. Sorry.
Try and get the biggest one.
I can't.
It's like very, this is very reminiscent of Goldmember, what I'm witnessing now.
It smells like skin. Right, go on. So what happened? Sorry.
Salty flesh. So yeah, basically someone eventually realized that like Nathan Jones can't wrestle. And so they had him removed from the match, you know, except for the run-in at the end. And like following the conclusion of WrestleMania, he was sent for like basically to train, and he didn't come back until November, which keep in mind, this was March, came back in November, and then he quit like WWE like a month later.
So there's some kind of problems with the whole relationship with him or something.
Yeah.
Or did he have a kid? Maybe he had a kid.
I think he just was
over it.
Yeah. I don't think he got like the glory that he desired. But again, speculation, me mostly just watching this one pay-per-view then reading about it. I kind of thought like this was I was, you know, telling you earlier that as someone who really only started watching wrestling in the last you know, within the last 3 years, it's really incredible to me seeing Taker in his kind of like glory. Like he's legitimately ripped. This dude looks like he was born on a motorcycle, sort of. Like he dressed the part and rode that thing.
I think it's a cool name too.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome. And I mean, like seeing him do that like tombstone,
so tombstones when he holds them and drops on their head. Like, yeah. I got a problem with all these moves. It looks like they hurt themselves the same amount. And the leg drops are all a butt hit to the ground.
That's pretty much it.
And they cut on every punch.
Yeah.
My favorite one I saw locally was this guy and this girl. And they were doing so many leg flip around. Like, the whole thing was leg flip aroundy and cheerleady. And I think I found that very interesting. Not the kind of, like, hulking. Sometimes they seem real tired, and then other times they're suddenly awake. I feel like they just take turns being the tired one. WWE, who's tired now? And then the one who wakes up at the end wins.
Now, when you go to, like, the, like, local stuff, is that stuff you do, is that AWE?
I went there once, and I think it was like on Spring Street.
Yeah.
And Josh was hosting.
Josh. Yeah, you host that. And so you work with them for your show, Daytime Fighting League.
Oh, yeah, if you like wrestling, look up Adult Swim's Daytime Fighting League. This one's not fake, but it's dumber.
Yeah, I actually watched one, and it's really neat seeing familiar faces, like, both wrestling and in real life, like, acquaintances of sorts, but it's actually really entertaining, funny.
How many... Can I ask this question? You could cut it out if you don't like it.
Okay.
How many people do you think involved in Daytime Fighting League have you been intimate with?
I honestly just think one.
Okay.
But guess who? Guess who?
Should I not ask that?
Comment and rate 5 stars with your guess. Who?
I wasn't trying to, like, do it.
It's not inappropriate.
I fucked 4 of them.
And how was it for you?
Let me tell you what. They don't call them Murder One for nothing.
Ooh. Speaking of Murder One, give a 2-finger salute to that man. You're going to be hearing him on the show later this month.
With 3 fingers in his butt.
All right. Overall, what did you think of this match?
I remember thinking it was fine or something. Cool. I don't remember. I'm not going to be able to have a good opinion on any of the matches.
All right, so the next one was Trish Stratus, Victoria, and Jazz in a triple threat for the Women's Championship. I'm going to give you 30 seconds on the clock.
All righty, someone said early on that they had it was raging hormones, and then Jerry started saying that he liked breaking for blondes. And I remember hearing one time that this woman named Jazz put Trish in a half Boston crab. And then everyone cheered when the pink outfit showed her butt. And then I don't understand what the rules were, because somebody was supposed to... There were 3 people fighting at once, and one was a champion, but I didn't know who was supposed to beat who. And then I think the woman in silver won, but I don't remember. Did I get it right?
Pretty much. I mean, that was a very well-tapered recap, if I do say so. But, yeah, essentially... What did you think of each of these women's gimmicks, first of all?
Well, couldn't tell. One girl had a guy in pink shorts.
Yeah.
And then the other girl was buff. And the other girl wore silver.
Yeah. Trish was the one in the silver you were talking about, which she was, like, so 2003 pop star, which she is an incredible athlete. She was actually...
Well, they're all very good athletes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was awestruck by Jazz. I thought she was...
She was real tough. She should do some good flippies. And she did the half Boston crab.
And she's just strong. And I really liked her intro. And I just liked what she was about. I wish I knew about her before I watched this pay-per-view. But Trish is actually the youngest person ever inducted into the Hall of Fame. And she got...
How do they choose that? Just like how long they worked?
I think in general, just like based on your accomplishments and...
The accomplishments are very scripted, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Hall of Fame is all part of the narrative?
I guess.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's like a mind fuck. How it, like, this? It's like a circular, like, which is kind of, it's kind of cute, you know? It's like almost every, the role playing, the people are part of it, and that's part of why they have fun with it.
Yeah.
It's like you're in the zone part of it. And it's feeding off each other, which is why Hulkamania got power.
Yeah.
As we'll discuss later. Spoiler alerts, Hulkamania gets power.
So, essentially, in this, kind of at the end, Victoria starts as the champ.
And Victoria was the champ, and she wore black.
Yeah, she was very dark. She was, like, so emo. She was, like, the Avril Lavigne of this, I don't know, match, I guess. But yeah, with her, like, pretty boy, which I still, like, even trying to research his Steven Richards, like, I do not know what his gimmick is supposed to be other than pink shorts. And, like, I think at one point he had long hair, then he cut it short. That's pretty much all I could gather about that man. But basically, Jazz was thrown over the top rope onto the ringside, and then that dude in the pink shorts came into the ring with a steel chair, and he tried to hit Trish.
That's not allowed.
Yeah, no, that's a definite, you know, interference. Tried to hit Trish with it, missed, hit the ropes, and that basically allowed...
And he hit himself in the head.
He was... I hated that guy.
Guess what? It was all a joke, you know? And I feel like it was like a homophobic thing. Like, he's supposed to be this dumb pansy boy who's submissive to this woman and is gay, and then he hits himself in the head, and Jerry Lawler goes, "What an idiot!"
Yeah. Trish got to perform the Stratus faction onto him. So she won.
Trish won.
Yeah.
She beat Victoria. But how does the rule work? So three people... fight. None of them were on the same team, but only one had to be knocked out? Or did Jazz get knocked out? And I was confused.
So Jazz got knocked out.
When she got kicked out of the ring, she lost?
Yeah, so Jazz got out, and then...
But it was a 1v1v1?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then when Victoria went to do her move, like, I think it's called, like, Widow's Peak or something, on Trish, Trish countered with her kick, which I think is called a chick kick.
Mm.
And,
good move.
Yeah, basically won the match, won the title. That was that. I was really impressed by the athleticism of that match, for sure. I found it really enjoyable. As a woman, I would like to see more matches like this and less like the one we're going to be discussing.
Oh, yeah. This one was really good if you have never seen women before.
So the next one we're going to be talking about is Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho. It's a singles match.
Ladies, they're single.
You got 30 seconds. What?
I don't think I wrote anything about this. Would they hit the Hugo? No, I didn't write anything about Sean Flafton. Okay, let's go.
All right.
Alrighty, Shawn Michaels was the idol of this young man named Jericho, who just kind of was like one of those guys who probably folds socks in a store. And he was from New York, and they did a fight, and it was a whole thing. They kept, like, going, you know, I remember he... And then, for some reason, that happened, and at the end, he loses somehow, but then, like, he hugs him because Sean's his idol, but then he kicks Sean in the balls, and he's like, oh, what a pathetic loser. That's what I remember the most. They call him pathetic loser.
Pathetic loser.
I don't remember the beginning. Shoot.
Yeah.
Maybe I fell asleep. No, I didn't fall asleep.
Man, I mean, you got the beginning of, I mean, like... the promo at the beginning.
Their motivations, I remember.
Yeah. So basically, Chris Jericho...
He was like, I gotta rise above what inspires me.
Right. He was like, initially, like, yeah, I wanna be Shawn Michaels. And he's like, no, I wanna be me.
Yeah, which is, I think that's perfectly great. I don't know why people were shitting on him for it. Like, he was built as this villain, maybe because he was pissy about it. And it was, I don't know. And then Shawn, people said HBK, and I was guessing that meant Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah. Yeah, right on, hit
because there were
right
hearts
on
his pants.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, he kind of had the body of like a tan older man. Like, he was clearly like getting older, but still in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
But I don't remember how they fought.
So overall, like, I liked it. So this was a 23-minute match. And overall, I thought it was very back and forth. But these dudes had, I mean, they have great chemistry together. They have really... I think they have a very similar moveset, and obviously it was, like, one of the most, like, one thing about WrestleMania 19 that we'll get into is this is the match where, or this was the event where most people should have died. Like, Steve Austin, which, you know, we'll talk about this match, was hospitalized the night before. Kurt Angle was supposed to have...
Chris Angel.
Chris
was supposed
Angel.
To perform magic.
But he...
Didn't.
Mind freaked his way out of it.
Whoa.
But basically, yeah, Kurt Angle was supposed to have a spinal fusion, but ended up having this different kind of surgery that put him back sooner. But, like, one wrong move, Kurt could have gotten paralyzed. And then Brock Lesnar, botched that, you know, move at the end. It was just all in all, like, a bunch of people who shouldn't have been in the ring. But this is one of the matches where...
It was super clean, is that what you're going
to
say?
Yeah,
they did
and,
what they had to
you know,
do.
You know, they were in great shape.
They did seem like both like super agile, especially, I remember in the promo stuff at least, I remember they both like seemed real flippy-do.
Which, I mean, I love Shawn Michaels, like I love his entrance music, and I love his outfit so much, and one of my favorite things though was the, when he was coming out with the confetti guns, and they kept having the malfunctioning ones, and
he was real charming.
Just,
and they said that they reminded us he was charming. He kind of had like a hair metal vibe. Is that something he goes for, or am I making that up?
Honestly?
Or is he just a slut?
I think he's just, yeah, he's just a boy that likes good dicking and having a good time. He's a sexy boy, you know?
Sexy boy.
That might sort of be Jericho's gimmick. I don't really know what, like, as, you know, watching an old pay-per-view, I don't know what Chris Jericho's gimmick was then, but he still wrestles to this day. He is one of my favorite wrestlers. He's phenomenal on the mic. He puts people over. He takes bumps he doesn't have to. Like, last year, and I think it was in a match with Dean Ambrose, he, like, you know, fell into a bed of thumbtacks, which they haven't done in, like, forever. He's just awesome, which right now he's been taking time off because he's in some kind of metal-ish band. I don't know. I don't know anything about music. I try to refuse to talk about it and wiggle my way out of any conversation when it comes to that kind of stuff. But they're called Fozzy. And
well, they mentioned it in this one, too, right?
Did they mention
Fozzy? Yeah, they
Fozzy?
Mentioned his band. They said he thinks he's a rock star because of his band Fozzy.
Yeah. You know, I don't hate this one song that he keeps playing on his podcast, because I actually listen to Chris Jericho's podcast, Talk is Jericho, and every single time he plays this, like, 5-minute song at the beginning of it, and I'm like...
Was it his song?
Yeah, and I don't find myself... It's called Judas, but I don't find myself, like, fast-forwarding through it, but I don't really tell people that, except now. You heard it here first on Heck in a Sec.
I've never heard it. Judas. I probably never will.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. But basically, do you remember who won this one?
Yeah, we already said it. It was James Sean Astin.
Oh, yeah, we did say, yeah.
But then he got kicked in the balls, and he's just limping the whole way back. He can't walk it off. He's got to be taken back. He's limping.
Yeah, that's like, I can't imagine. I was trying to, like, put my place.
What a pathetic loser. They're doing such class. And then he goes for a low blow. That's the kind of nonsense that asshole, Chris. Oh, Jericho.
Oh, man. I kind of love these low blows every time. Last...
Are they doing more shit like that in that Ultimate... What's that Ultimate Fighting stuff that people like?
UFC?
I feel like they're building characters in that now. Everyone's always yelling at each other in the pre-shows.
I don't know anything about UFC except what I just, like, through osmosis gather through the internet. And I saw that one guy with, like, a very long mustache. And I'm in love with him now. And then there's that one guy who I really don't like, but I think that's because he's doing a good job. That, like, redheaded guy who, like, might have had the F-word all over his suit.
Mm. Yeah,
you
that
know what
guy.
I'm talking about?
See, I don't know much about it, but I feel like I've seen them yelling at each other. And I go, like, maybe they're trying to go for, like, this low-blow stuff and make it, like we can sell more seats if people think there's more of a drama. You can't just have, even in UFC, you can't just have, like... competition. They have to hate each other. I'm gonna come get you. Fucking asshole, you can't think you're stronger than me.
Isn't that like a UFC, like,
what if they did that in baseball?
Like,
and when the Mariners get here, we're gonna score so many home runs. You fucking weak assholes can't even run.
I want to see that in Little League.
No, you don't.
You
don't want to see kids fight. It's dirty.
Sue me, Max. Sumi Max, and let's talk about, we're going to be, we skipped through a second Limp Bizkit performance, which is WWE's favorite band in the world, to quote. They did Crack Addict, which was the song of the evening. And that kind of came in before the sexy pillow fight match with the Miller Lite Cat Fight
girls.
So
what's the story? Why are they Miller Lite Cat Fight girls?
Honestly, I have no idea. I think it's based on... They had a commercial back then that was on TV where... I don't know if it was the same girls or same type of girl, but basically they were like by a pool or something. I don't know. And then they'd be like, it's delicious. No, it's not filling. And like the same kind of way they said, like, Hulk Hogan, Mr. McMahon, and like would just kind of fight like that and then end up wrestling each other. And then it would turn into like, wanna make out kind of thing, which I don't know what kind of statement that is on. I mean, it's obviously not what I want to see. But I mean, to put myself, I guess, in the position of like a man, it's kind of insulting too. Like, oh, these dudes are just idiots that want beer and naked chicks. I don't know. I don't know who it's for, other than 12-year-olds before the internet.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. But anyway,
you got... I don't know, I think there's a lot more guys who are out that than you expect, though. It's so weird. I feel like every time an Uber driver talks to me about what women he think are hot, they're real creepy.
Oh, man, yeah. That's why I take Lyft. You got 30 seconds about this match.
Alrighty, so it was a triple threat, but then it was a foursome. And then some guy named Coach, was rolled all over. The girls were just taking off their clothes. One girl had a black thong, I remember, and got spanked. And there was a fatal four-way. Seemed like there was, yeah, like you said, a lot of pseudo-lesbian vibes. And somebody said it was too good to be true. And I don't understand who won, and it was on a bed. And they had pillows, and I don't think anybody won. And then they bowed.
That curtain call, though, where they all were just holding hands, like, yeah, we pantsed that
they
guy.
They bowed together, like, that was the fight, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, what if you had to watch strippers with your family, and then they bowed? what reaction are you looking
right.
for?
Yeah, which every time, like, someone came in, you know, like, each one would be like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, yeah, they had two surprised women. That weren't a surprise. They hinted that it was going to happen.
Right.
Everybody wanted it.
Right. And Jerry Lawler, this whole time, was...
not wearing a shirt under his jacket.
That. And repulsive. Once they, like, took their shirts off and stuff, he was just like, bra and panties, yes, we love it. And, you know, talking about, oh, God, it was just... so dumb. And that guy Coach is, I guess, I don't know what his job is other than to hold a microphone. Jonathan Coachman got pantsed by...
Is his real name Coachman? Or did he change his name for the show?
I have no idea. It would be a very appropriate one.
Does he coach them?
He's just the Coachman. I don't know. I feel like we all are the losers after that one. I hate Jerry Lawler a lot.
He's got a good voice for it.
He's got a good voice, but he's got the face of a forever 12-year-old. He's a wife beater, and I don't know. He loves those girls.
He breaks for blondes. Did I say that already?
You did. So.
I only like girls with certain hair colors. And then I stop my car for them. Everyone else I run over.
Next match. Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon, in a street fight.
Okay.
I'm giving you 30 seconds on the clock.
Street fight meant that there were no rules. Vince McMahon was a promoter. Richard Holgan was a fighter. And then they had a fight about it because, like, they made up this fake drama that I don't know if it was really tied in the real life drama. And they're like, wait a minute, we can make this an even more fake drama. Where he said, Hulkamania, I made that up. And he's like, nah, dude, it's everyone out there. It's me. So the CEO is easily the bad guy. And they hit each other with chairs and pipes and bled a lot. And then Hulk won out of nowhere. It made no sense. But somehow he won.
Excellent. I guess, yeah.
Also, they hit Hugo, the Spanish commentator.
Oh, Hugo. I love
him. He bladed himself,
get
too.
Rescued. That was so endearing to me. Vince hates Hulk because he created Hulkamania. But also, he wants to kill it. But basically, they did a little clip. There was, in like, I think it was like 1993, I should have done more research on this, an actual drug smuggling case against, like, I don't know if it was like just Vince McMahon or one guy in particular, and like a bunch of wrestlers had to testify, but...
They made it seem like he testified against him.
Right. Which, basically, in, like, the very little reading I did, Hulk Hogan didn't say anything to implicate...
Yeah, I feel like he wouldn't have. And then they had a voiceover that was just, like, a fake voiceover.
Right, yeah.
And,
like
blurry,
like,
footage.
What is this from?
But, I mean, it all added to this drama that they had to fight over the... Hulk would have to retire if he lost this fight. And Vince McMahon just... He is the MVP of that business, man. He is the guy who was crazy, he was blood crazed, he was dripping and smiling and his eyes big, and he was making everyone hate him, and so everybody could yell, because Hulk Hogan, who, he's probably also a wife beater too, and he's some kind of reactionary, right?
I know he's definitely racist. He's not a good guy.
Anyway, he's the hero of the people, though, and he gets energized by their cries. And that rouses him from his sleepy... Which one's going to wake up? Which one asleep? And I, like I said, oh, and there's a guy who came in with a kilt named Bonnie Rotten.
Bonnie Rotten, which...
some guy in a kilt pops up, and his name is Ronnie. He has bad acne scars, is what I wrote.
Well, I have a little surprise for you. So that was Roddy Piper, and I have his soda here. Here it is.
The bubblegum one?
Yep.
Is it fresh?
It's fresh. I just brought it up when I was setting up and opened it up, and we're going to try it.
Oh, good. It is fresh. And now, why does he look like a fucking gross dad on it or something?
So it's from, like, that movie They Live, I think is what it's called.
Oh, yeah. That's a good movie. He's in that movie?
Yeah, that's he's him? The one who says that one line about the bubblegum.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was him.
Yeah.
Why is he a fucking Scotsman in this? That movie's really good.
That's his wrestling.
Have you seen it?
No. I've only seen that, like, one clip.
But it's good.
What is it, from, like, the 80s? How's that taste?
I think it's early 90s. It tastes like bubblegum soda. I mean, have you ever had the Jones apple soda?
No.
Bubblegum? It kind of just tastes... I don't know. Bubblegum soda it tastes like sweet soap.
It tastes like Mr. Bubble. This is something I would love to soak my body in, but not drink.
Yeah, They Live is a fun movie. It's got What's-His-Face. I believe the guy who voices Captain Anderson in Mass Effect is the counterpart to this guy. And they both murder a lot of people. They're aliens. They're secret aliens. It's very transparent. It's not one of Carpenter's best movies, if it is his.
Is that line, did it come from the movie first, or that, like, Duke Nukem first?
The movie came out before Duke Nukem.
That makes sense. So, help yourself to that.
I don't know if it came
that.
From something else, too.
Vince McMahon, occasionally competes as his professional
When did he start doing that? Because I think that's the best idea of the whole thing. And they kept talking about him being like a cutthroat businessman. That's the whole blurriness. Did Stu Snyder ever fight?
I have no idea, actually. I have no idea, but...
I met him once when I first started working for Turner before he was let go.
Really? That's pretty cool. Yeah, so basically Vince McMahon's wrestling gimmick is Mr. McMahon, which is his real-life persona, essentially. Which I think is awesome.
It's my favorite one.
He goes hard. Like, he goes in, you know?
I know, he was nuts. It was like Apocalypse Now at times, and it was very good.
Yeah.
It was my favorite fight of the evening.
It was... super neat seeing him, like, he did that leg drop off the ladder.
Which, I mean, I think I said this earlier, they hit with their butt, right? So the legs don't hurt.
Yeah.
Man.
But
and apparently that's Mr. Hogan's signature move.
Which? I mean,
the leg drop. They're like, oh, he's so disrespectful, he's doing his leg drop.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's how he won. He did, like, a big boot and then three running leg drops and then pinned. Mr. McMahon.
Why do they always reach up? They don't look like they're struggling to reach up, but then they're like, okay, I'm doing it.
You're not pinned if your shoulder's up.
Why don't they lift it earlier? Because it's like, I feel like no one's stopping them.
The drama of it. You know, every time I go...
And why don't they push them back down?
Because then you'd have to start the count over or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Man, that part makes no sense to me.
Yeah. So,
I wish they had life bars. I would probably buy it if there were life bars. That's why in Daytime Fighting League, we have fight graphics.
I'm excited to watch more of that for sure. So when Roddy Piper comes out and interferes, he's actually helping Vince. It seems like he was very aggressively going at both, though. I agree with you there.
Yeah, that's what I felt when I saw it.
Yeah, I was really confused the first time. But basically, he's telling him to get up, so to hype him.
Because does he hate Hulk Hogan?
Yeah.
Was he a wrestler before he was in the movie They Live?
Honestly, I have no friggin' idea.
Okay,
I need it. But yeah, so then he,
I feel like he could've
Roddy
been. He
Piper,
was really
yeah, hits Hulk Hogan with the pipe, and then we try to soda. Okay. And then Shane's kid comes out. Or, sorry, Vince's kid, Shane, comes out.
Yeah, to help his dad?
Yeah, that was really cute. I liked it when, like, Vince was looking up and, like, flicking off the camera, and Shane was right beside him. I feel like it was, like, a really adorable, like, don't talk to me or my son ever again. Just like that little image of them together.
Imagine if that's like, that was all real and like the boss right? of the company just got beat up. Like, is that, would that even be allowed? I don't know.
I don't know.
Everyone gets fired? Like, what the fuck? It's so weird.
Or imagine if you could handle business like that, though, too.
Oh, my God.
Like, on the flip side of that. Overall, I mean, I really enjoyed this match a lot. Oh, did you?
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I liked the blood.
Yeah, I liked the blood. That was all good.
So, the next match after this was The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. It was a singles match. You got 30 seconds on the clock.
The Rock has become Hollywood Rock. He wears sunglasses now. And this fight, I felt like, was the most... No, that was the next fight. He's fighting a guy named Triple H. No, he's fighting...
No, we skipped that.
Don't...
Sorry.
You can't tell me. He's fighting Stone Cold Steve Austin. So it's both bald guys fighting each other. And The Rock wins. And he's been wanting to beat him for a long time. And he finally did it. And that's all I remember of that fight. Go Rock. Now he's a movie star for real.
Have you watched Ballers?
No.
I haven't either. I just finished the fifth season of Game of Thrones. And I kind of just want to like take a break before diving back into the sixth season and watch Ballers. I don't know.
What is it about?
That
new show about basketball.
I think it's football.
Football.
It's football in Las Vegas.
The Rock really seemed like a good actor.
Yeah.
He was really killing it.
I really liked his Hollywood Rock thing, where basically as you said, wears sunglasses and is really, speaks in third person and just... annoys the crowd.
Yeah,
but
he's
they
like
love
aggravating
it.
The common man.
Yeah.
Look at these out of touch elites. They go and become entertainers because they think they're better than everyone. Little do they know, the entire WWE is an elite entertainment organization profiteering.
So, the night before this, though, so Steve Austin was hospitalized the night before this.
Why?
I think his body was failing him. Like, he was like drinking a lot. Stressed out, exhausted. I think he had, like, some kind of, like, heart thing go on. I don't know. But he was, like, they were honestly considering having this, like, higher up on the card at first. But, like, put it later to, like, I guess make sure he'd be okay and stuff. Which they were also planning on having this, which... I'm not 100% sure if this was ultimately his, like, last match, but, like, they kept it kind of on the DL that it was going to be one of his last matches, even though he kind of, like, quit WWE with injuries or something like that. But basically, they kept that quiet to not have it so... Basically, so he could put over The Rock and not have, like, sympathy, like, we'll miss you cheers and stuff, which I thought was, like, a super classy... move and decision. I loved this match so much. My favorite is when The Rock taunted Austin by putting on his vest and imitating him and doing.
He put on his vest.
And then they just did each other's moves. It was really entertaining. That it's like, I think that's also like comedy gold. Honestly, it tickled me the first time I saw it. It was a great match. I mean, both of these dudes looked strong, looked like good wrestlers, you know?
With some bubble gum.
Bubble gum.
Good for them.
I hate that
I don't like the way Stone Cold Steve Austin looks.
Why?
I just don't like him. I think he's just the type of man I don't like the look of. I don't like bald guys who look like... Does he have a mustache?
He has like a goatee, I think.
Yeah, I don't like that shit, dude.
I could never be like a character witness. No, that's not what a character witness is. I can never give a description of a person. But he has facial hair, but he's bald. But I noticed, actually, today when I was looking at him, I was like, he's got, like, a really... He's kind of got a little bit of a baby face and blue eyes.
Yeah.
And he just wears, like, a badass leather vest. I was into it. Yeah. I don't know. But I love The Rock.
A bunch of guys who they start looking the same when they go bald and have goatees.
That might be my look if I was a dude. Ugh. I would just lean into it. Right, even if I had a full head of hair.
I don't think I could even do it.
Why?
I can't even grow the facial hair for it, and my features are too wacky.
I think in, like, a good 35 years, you got it.
Nah, I'll be cool. I'll be a distinguished gray.
Cool. Okay, next match. Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle for the world champion. I'm going to give you 30 seconds on the clock.
All right, Brock Lesnar, he's this guy, big man with a small face. And then the other guy fighting was named Crispin Glover. Chris his name was Chris something. And he was the recovering champion, and then they just had a big fight. It was the most fighty-looking fight of the whole one. Like they were, especially in the beginning, with a few tangles and pins. But then, of course, Bert wins. Bert looks like he's supposed to be a Russian character, but it turns out he's from Minnesota, and he has a tattoo on his back. Did I get it right?
More or less. So, yeah. Oh, this is the match that, after I watched this, I was like, this is what I'm going to show my friends to let them know what wrestling is. Hmm. It was so incredible, which, yeah, going into this, there was no way Kurt should have been wrestling. And Brock, I mean, just to kind of jump ahead a little bit, which this was his WrestleMania debut.
Okay.
So his first time wrestling at WrestleMania. He's 25 years old. Looks ageless. He looks almost the same now, honestly. Mm-hmm. Right now he has the, like, Universal Championship title, which he's, like, kind of a part-timer, and he's threatening to go to UFC again or something, which he goes to try and do a Shining Star press, which is something he'd only done at, like, dark matches or, like, house shows, which is something you would, in 2003, not see as often without... I don't know, there's no way YouTube was around then, you know? So you'd have to just be seeing, like, VHSs. No, there was totally DVDs back then. You'd have to see tapes of this, though. It's not as accessible as, oh, I saw Brock Lesnar, you know, try and hit this move off the top rope in my Snapchat story, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of people were telling him not to do it, and he totally botched it.
Yeah, he didn't go far enough.
Yeah, he didn't go far enough and landed on his head, which if his traps were not as big, he would have died.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Or, like, been paralyzed, which you can tell he got knocked out. There's actually a documentary basically filmed at this WrestleMania called, like, the Mania of WrestleMania or After WrestleMania or something like that, where there's footage backstage after this match, and Brock Lesnar is concussed, and he's thrashing around like a wounded animal, as, you know, and he comes to the fact that he nearly died, and Kurt is naked on the floor, and he's, like, shaking while his wife is there, and it's just, like, this is, like, broken boys, you know what I mean? But, I, like, seriously, when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, like, I know he's still alive, and he has something around his waist now, but... That was so hard to watch, which, yeah, Kurt, actual Olympian,
yeah, one of that, two. I remember that.
One that, of two.
What did he, and he was, like, in judo or something?
I feel like it was actually just wrestling.
They just call it wrestling?
I kind of want to just Google it. Oh, freestyle wrestling. Freestyle.
Wow. I want to finish this soda you hate.
Yeah. Mr. Bubbles, the soda. But, overall, I mean, that was... one of my favorite things I've watched. I was actually talking to, we have this one, I work at a hair salon, and we have this little kid that loves WWE, and it was actually just his birthday, and I was like, if your mom's okay with it, you can have my WWE Network login. But I was talking to him about this match, and hearing, like, I think he just turned 8, this little boy, like, talk about this match, and I'm like, how do you know about this? And he was like, yeah, like, Brock Lesnar died, which he loves everyone who I hate, but I don't know, this just felt like a really important match. I would have loved to be there. So this was in Seattle, which I think that was, like, the first and last time they did a WrestleMania in Northwest. So I kind of feel bad. I have a buddy out in, like, Portland who always wishes that he had one near to him, and I feel like they do it at New Orleans every other year, but I mean, overall, I definitely see why a lot of people list this as one of their favorite WrestleManias. Saw a lot of big names. We saw a lot of people, I think, put each other over equally. And, I mean, really show off, I mean, what they're trained to do. But it also kind of shows the kind of scary aspect of wrestling, which are, you know, what it does to your body, the damages you can take. I mean, what,
you know,
yeah. What do you think? What do you, how would you, how, what do you feel about like WWE and professional wrestling after watching this?
Boring.
Boring.
And unbearable. Oh. I put it on the same level as I would say ballet, and I don't want to go to a ballet. And those are shorter.
So, before signing off, do you have anything you want to plug or put over?
Nah.
No?
Check out ballet. If you like this wrestling, check out ballet.
If you have any questions, comments, if you want to be on the show, contact me. You can email me, heckinasec@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter, JWMeatballs with an S. I want to thank Xander Pratt for our theme music and Rebecca Price for our podcast art. Please, please, I'm a brand new baby podcast. Leave 5 stars. Leave some comments.
Are you on iTunes?
I am on iTunes. You gonna subscribe?
No, I don't have iTunes.
Well, I'm also on Podomatic and SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Check it out.
I'm gonna post a picture, and you can find it. You should post it of this character I drew while we were doing this. He's called the Bubble Kid, and he's wearing a diaper mix.
I love his X for nipples.